Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to WFHR's Playmaker. Let's start the show. Good afternoon, everybody. I have your host, James, here. Solo edition of the show today for this Monday episode. We're here, but I'm not alone. Got all you. Call up 715-424-2600. Love to hear from you. Want your sports feelings, sports takes. A lot happened over the weekend. Let's discuss. We got 3 days to do it, everybody. We'll be here Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 5 to 6 for Playmakers. So if you're not able to get in today, you're driving around, working, something like that, make plans to join us Monday, Wednesday, Friday, every week, and get together with us here. I got a couple places for us to go, but first up, we want to go to two places. One, Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Go visit them on A Street with all your printing needs and thank them for sponsoring the hour and, of course, your calls. Good afternoon. You're in the game.
I guess I was wrong on Friday.
what specifically, though? It's got to be a list.
Well, with the college sports, with the way they, you know, they Vegas came out and said it, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I was wrong. I'll admit it. I was wrong, and I guess, you know.
Hey, that's the kind of show we run here, where we're a weird sports show. We own our stuff. You actually kind of teed me up on something. I'll get to it in a second, but that game was a lot better than the score may show. Especially considering you had a couple of starters in there that didn't take preseason prep, snaps in with the starters and a lot of these things. I'm not at all making excuses, but there's a big difference between the team you lined up against and the team that was playing. Penn State has had a pretty solid team going back to spring, and these guys have been playing together. There's a lot more to chemistry to that, and this is a team that wasn't supposed to be even in that game. At halftime, they sure were. It looked a lot better watching the game than it might have on paper. But still, you know, I appreciate that. And you're looking for that sixth win. You're looking for that seventh win now, if you're Wisconsin, with a big slate coming up. Iowa is a gettable game. That is certainly, going to be something in a Big Ten game. And you look at the end of the season going up against Minnesota. That's certainly a game where you can pull off seven wins in this season. That is not what you want as a Wisconsin fan, but it's a build, and that's where you're at.
Well, I think there's a chance that they can even come up with eight wins by the end, because they can.
Yes,
should go in Iowa and beat Iowa, but they've always had a tough time playing down there. They get a week off, and they got Oregon coming in,
yeah.
And then they go to Nebraska, and then they got Minnesota. Minnesota's been kind of up and down this year too. Just that kind of the Badgers, they'll have some big wins, and then they'll have some stinkers of a loss and stuff too. So. And then who knows how that game is going to be down there in Madison the day after Thanksgiving at 11 o'clock. I mean, who knows if the students will be there, if there's going to be many students. And I know they're, you're seeing an advertisement on Facebook and hearing on the radio, and even, they're saying that they need to sell tickets.
Yeah.
I just wish the Big Ten would have been a little bit smarter about this one.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm already hearing rumblings from people with actual power, nobody we see, but on boards and that, where they're talking about, maybe we should go regional. They're going to go back eventually. I don't know if it'll be in the next 10 months or it'll be the next 10 years, but they're going to go back to this whole thing being regional again. As much as money is the answer for why this stuff has exploded, it'll also be the reason why it'll also go back to the way it used to be. Look at streaming services. We were told that cable was, and bundling everything up, and then streaming services came around and everybody was cutting the cord. And now what is everybody doing? They're going back to bundles. They're going right back to it. These things come back around. This is going to be the same way, where they're gonna break them. This may still be the whole Big Ten and SEC are the only divisions left, but even those are going to break up into subcategories, which will just turn this whole thing into the AFL and NFL, which then they'll have to merge, or if they're not already merged, going into it. This is business 101. We have this going on in our business world right now, where you've got Disney that owns like 90% of entertainment and things. things like that. That's not actual fact. I'm just being exaggerant. But we have that going on already in our society. It's not, sports aren't going to be any different. Look at the ownerships of sports, the way that it's going, the direction it is. The only people that can afford these things are hedge fund owners and tech billionaires and stuff. There's nobody, you'll never see mom and pop. The closest we get to that now is seeing a former player who is a part of a minority group, who is a part of another group that, you know, they're going to own a percentage, half percentage of the team.
Oh, yeah, you'll never see a single owner, you know, a single person owner. It's going to be multi-owners, especially when it comes to the football end of it, even in baseball, because it's getting astronomical with you know, the money that's out there. But, you know, and, you know, kind of get back to the scheduling, too. Why would you put Penn State, Ohio State at noon?
It's
the big noon kickoff for Fox.
Yeah.
The Big Ten's got, I mean, obviously money's talking, but you would think you would want to make that one more of a premier game, you know, even a 2:30 game maybe, put that at, but 11 o'clock.
I'm guessing that for Fox, their ratings spike then. That's when they've seen their biggest influx of watchers, and that's why it's at that time. I couldn't agree with you more. And I don't, while ratings certainly should be an outlier, just like any numbers, when we're talking about our game here in sports, numbers are great. They can help you, you know, in the process of making your decision, but your decision shouldn't be made on them. Ratings are weird. Ratings are very hard to predict, and ratings are very difficult as far as, you know, every year after the Super Bowl, what's one of the most highest rated shows? The show that plays right after the Super Bowl. That TV show doesn't always do very well, though. It's just people still got their TVs on. The numbers don't tell you everything. I agree with you. And if I'm Fox, I'm also making my own rules, because I'm not ESPN. ESPN right now is in a situation where they're starving for every eyeball, and they're trying to get every penny they can, because they very, very much did not predict the market, and they overpaid for a lot of these live sports. And now they're not only trying to jump ship and sell ESPN to just about anybody, which, by the way, if you want to buy ESPN, you and I, we should get together afterwards and talk about that. We might have enough. They're also trying really hard to get advertisers to be a part of these things.
Right.
Fox doesn't have to worry about that as much. They're not to say that they're not trying to obviously make money, but they don't have to worry about ratings as much. I did have two big questions for the audience today, and I want to put them both out there real quick. And one of them has to do with a little bit of what you just started here with us, Kev, which I joke about, but I really do try to embrace as far as being on the air, whether it's other shows I do or this one. I really think we need more of our culture to be able to be okay with being wrong. While I don't like being wrong, I own it when I am. I think that's important. Just as important as if you make a take, I don't need to be reminded that you made that take. To every sports personality out there, and look, two of them happen to be two of my favorites in Michael Wilbon and Tony Kornheiser. I love those guys. I watch every episode of PTI that's ever been, and those guys are the two of the worst at it. If you make a take, let it sit. And let other people brag about you. Let other people talk about, wow, did you see that this guy made this take and everything? Let other people do it. It is one of the lamest things in the free world to hear a sports commentator, you know, I had that. You know, I had that. Nobody cares. Not even your bookie cares, man. Nobody cares that you had it. Please stop with the whole, you know, I had that. And enough of that. And my other thing, my actual real question to the audience, and I did a little bit of homework on this one. Keeping players in the game during a blowout, the idea of that and the importance of that, if you should or shouldn't, I'm going to go ahead and put the head coaching hat on each and every one of you right now. When you are in that position, you are the head coach. You're not the GM. You're not the trainer. You're not the kid's parents. You are the head coach. Do you leave a player in during a blowout? Because the numbers are maybe not surprising to some, or they could be shocking to others. Because I think it's quite interesting.
Well, I mean, I can look at it two ways. In high school sports, no. You get everybody, when it starts being a blowout and running clock, especially in football, you get everybody in. You play everybody. College sports, you can go back and forth on that a little bit. You can put the second string in more and start kind of weeding those guys in more, but still keep some of the first stringers out there. But you got to stop me. And it's the same thing in pro sports. Yeah. You know, you could put the backup center, you could put, you know, you put the second stringers in all you want, but you got to stop me. And if you're not going to stop me, then, well, guess what's going to happen? And I know I saw some of those blowouts this weekend and how they kind of, some of them kind of ran them up even more. And I guess I'm mixed feelings on it, but like in high school sports, you don't do that. It's just, that's kind of, you don't do that.
Running up the scores here or there, I agree with you. If you want to, if you don't like them running up the score, stop them. But there is too much at stake to keep these players in there. And we're seeing over and over again, guys getting injured in blowouts, especially in Detroit. Where it's happening quite a bit, and while I would go through a brick wall for Dan Campbell right now, right this second, mm-hmm. I would. I would also do it for Tom Thibodeau, and Tom Thibodeau's got a history of beating his players down to a pulp, and them not having nothing left to give in the playoffs. And I hate to see that happen to Detroit. I don't think you or a lot of Packer fans would, but I'm rooting for Detroit a little bit to do something in the playoffs, to eventually get to a Super Bowl and stuff this year. And they, to me, it's not about analytics, although the numbers will tell you this is there is a significant increase for the risk of injuries if a player is staying in a blowout game. Players lose on risk of due to frustration, play with less focus, or attempt overly aggressive moves to try to change the score, potentially leading to dangerous collisions. We've seen a number of these this year, not just in football, but in every sport. Every single sport is guilty of this. So I'm not at all pointing the finger at all. And I'm not blaming the players. The players want to play. The players will go out there and play if it's 100-0 and they've got a broken leg. This is on the head coach. This is why I'm putting the head coach hat on every one of you and what you do in that situation. Because, hey, it's great to win the battle. It's all about the end game. And it don't matter how good you're playing or if you win this game if you don't have Hutchinson the rest of the season or some of these things. And it's not to say they couldn't get injured otherwise. We all know that. But the fact is they're getting hurt, and it's needless plays and needless points in the game too.
Well, I get that. And I mean, Belichick was a good one for it. He would run the score up on you, and it didn't matter. I mean, he just kept going, and he would, you know, he's going to just put his foot on your throat and just keep pushing down. You know, he's just going to keep going. He never really ever put those second stringers or backup quarterbacks in or anything like that. And you know, yeah, I mean, I get the point too. Like the fourth quarter, if you're up by 3 touchdowns, is it worth having your quarterback out there, your starting quarterback, your franchise quarterback? Probably not.
Especially, look at what's happening with Jordan Love right now. Last couple of seasons, he's been getting nagging injuries or injuries here or there, and it's not even in garbage time that it's happening. This injury that he's got right now, I want to ask you about that one because, you know. Certain injuries, they're almost, okay, well, he's going to be gone 2 to 3 weeks, but he'll be back in time for the playoffs, that kind of thing. Then there's the nagging injury that lasts all the way into the off season, and right. We don't really, they just, you know, they give us the MRI is pretty clear. It's not a severe groin injury. He's missed significant damage. So according to all the, you know, the numbers that tell us, this could be a 4 to 8 week thing or a month to 2 month thing. But that's a lot of time in the NFL. That's if he was just keep in mind as well, that's for a regular quote unquote normal person who's just sitting around healing, not a guy who's going out there and practice after practice or game after game and playing a warrior sport.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, on the other hand, if he does sit out a couple weeks, I'm still pretty confident because look what happened yesterday when Malik Willis.
Yeah.
I mean, he still kept the Packers in the game and drove them down to the game-winning kick again. The two games he was in, he won both of them, and he looked good. I mean, there wasn't nothing like, oh boy, here we go. You know,
straight up quarterback controversy. I say
that's what Bears fans hope. Yeah. But you know, but it's a Detroit game. You know, you know dang well that Jordan's going to try to do everything he can to get himself healthy to play in that game against Detroit. Mm-hmm. Because we need that one. You know, you got to. We're still in the hunt. You got to beat Detroit, and and keep things rolling so that you keep the division within sight. But
yeah,
on the other hand, you have a quarterback that's in, that knows the system now and has played pretty well.
Well, Green Bay and Texas, those are the two best quarterback rooms in all of football right now. I have a hard time, even coming up with a third or a fourth right now, as far as any team in college or in pro football that has a two great quarterbacks that you feel comfortable going to war with either one of them, going into the game with either one of them. To me, that's. Man, you can't put a price on that. And it's not just us as fans watching these guys and feeling that way. You see the body language when Archie Manning comes into a game and Texas is down a little bit. Or you look at in this game most recently, this Sunday for the Packers, and you see Malik Willis come into the game. Did anybody pay attention to the body language of the offensive line, to Josh Jacobs, any of that? Stood up. Every one of them stood up. Every one of them got their chin up, chest up. All right, let's go win this. I mean, no fear, no nothing. Nothing but, all right, this is a job. This is another day at the job. Go ahead, let's go put in the work. They believe in this kid. This kid has shown them everything they've asked for and done leaps and bounds what not only the backups have done in Green Bay recently, but really look at around the league. And there's nobody. And man, Tennessee just continues to look rough when it comes to developing these players, not just quarterbacks, but anybody who's not a defensive lineman in Tennessee. It's hard to imagine that this untapped talent wasn't there in Tennessee. And you just let it go. This has happened a couple of times in the NFL, but it doesn't happen that much with a first round quarterback that you let go. And it looks like, oh, this kid's probably going to be starting in the next year or two somewhere else. He's not going to be in Green Bay much longer. You got him this year, maybe one more year. I don't know what his contract looks like, but he's not going to be there much longer. He'll have to prove himself if he's a starting quarterback in the NFL, but he has shown enough to people out there who believe they could turn anything into anything. I can definitely start with him. He's definitely a start. Maybe Tennessee will trade back for him. Maybe.
Yeah, right. They're going to give everything back that the Packers gave him. But, yeah, he's looking good. And like you said, I mean, if they have to finish out with him or if they play a few more games with him and if someone's really desperate for a quarterback out there, the price, I'll take anything. If you're going to give up some early draft picks, I'll take it. But
I think every NFL coach, it seems like worth their salt, going back to Bill Parcells, they break things down. I just heard Saban talking about this weekend. He never went into any season and said, we're going to win a national championship. It was always today. It was always about today and winning today. Mm-hmm. So looking at that, it's certainly Green Bay has Super Bowl aspirations and everything, as they should. But for right now, it's beating Detroit. And when it looks, when you look at beating Detroit, you don't know what you're going to have in Love, if he's going to play or not. But you know you got a healthy Willis, and you know you got a team that you not only can play well with him, but a playbook that he can play with. So, I mean, you got to feel good about that going into this game. Detroit's got great weapons, and they're pretty healthy outside of certain key places. But it isn't as if Green Bay's walking into this with no weapons. They may not be as well known as some of the Detroit weapons, but they will be. Jalen Reed will be known by the NFL if he's not already.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody who knows anything about the football, they are certainly paying attention to that young man. They know Josh Jacobs already. They know that defense has got a number of ball hawks on it and a defense that is maybe not quietly here in Wisconsin, but around the NFL, I don't hear a lot of people talking about how great that defense is playing. The Packers had the most takeaways in the first eight games of the season since 2011. This defense maybe could be better, but what defense in the NFL couldn't be? Every one of these defenses we can poke holes in. Every one of these defenses. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, man, a team gives up 21 points, and that's a good defense. we're impressed by that now. So it's not as if you got to shut a team out anymore. You can hold a team to 14. You can hold a team to two to three scores. You can win that game.
Right. Well, I agree with you on that one. I mean, if you can, I think the standard now is if you can hold them under 20.
Yeah.
If you can hold them under 20, you should win the game.
I can remember we were kids, if you had a great defense and you gave up two touchdowns, you're like, oh, I don't know what's wrong with that defense. 14 points they gave up? That's crazy. That's
great.
It's a whole different ballgame. Appreciate the time, man. Thanks a lot for hanging out with us today, Kev. You have a great afternoon.
All right. You have a good night, James.
You too, man. 424-2600, phone line 715-424-2600. Got about 4 or 5 minutes before the end of the first period. We'll use our timeout. We'll get into our take care of our sponsors when we come back. Do want to send a big shout out not only to our you guys out there and our great listeners, but I want to send a special shout out to the Wisconsin Rapids River Kings and the Southfield County Rec Center. They kick off their homestand this weekend. This past weekend, they kicked it off. And not only with a couple of victories, but with a great crowd, not only attendance, but a great job by everybody that works behind the scenes. And it was fun with some of the costumes. We had the Mounties out there, which was fantastic. Working the Zamboni in that was a lot of fun. They had, in between the first and second period, a bunch of kids come out that were in Halloween costumes. That was a blast. Great job, kids. They stole the show. They were fantastic. And also, so were our River Kings. Our Kings were fantastic. You're going to come for the King, you best not miss. And we 3-0 victory that night, including a one of the more exciting second periods I've seen in a long, or periods of hockey I've seen in quite a while. That second period was awesome. Fantastic, fun second period of hockey right there. And ended up being a shutout, 3-0 win to kick off your homestand with a shutout. Pretty darn impressive. Well done. And I want to send a shout out to Deacon Shaw, a young goalie for our River Kings. Pitches a shutout in, I believe, his first home start. If I'm not sure, I'll ask Coach about that, but I believe his first home. A great game by him. Well done, kid. Nicely done. A lot of fun. I like to sit where my dad and my mom, my dad always had my mom and I stand and sit when we watched him play. So whether I'm going to watch the Blackhawks play or the River Kings play, I go and sit in the same area. And I like to be right by where our goalie is for a couple of periods. I like to watch the goalie area. I like to center on that. And a lot of excitement over there, especially in that second period. It was a lot of fun. And for their goalie, it was very busy, not as much fun, especially when it came to Sunday morning, or Sunday afternoon, I should say. We had a noon start, our one noon start for the Sunday season. All football fans, keep that in mind. We won't have any more of these noon starts. And maybe if you're a Hudson fan, keep that in mind, because 12-0 River Kings win, 12-0 over the Hudson Havoc. Incredible game. And that's a game, baby. What a game. We're going to talk about this with Coach next chance we get. Looking forward to it. Shout out to everybody involved. Of course, you got baseball tonight. World Series Game 3. Looks like Shohei Ohtani is going to be playing in this game. So there's a lot of excitement, of course, for that. And we'll see. See how this one goes. So far, not much of a series, really, although... most people will tell you it really doesn't start until you get some home games on both fields. I've got some stats of the show we'll get into, some rare World Series stats I thought were quite interesting. Got some of those coming up for you in a little bit, some history of the World Series. And continue that conversation about keeping players in the game if they are hurt. I'm curious to know what you think of that one. We got a lot of show left. Got over a half an hour of show left. We'll be right back with more for you right here on WFHR's Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Welcome back, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Got your host, James, here. And, man, this feels good to say. Joining us here on Playmakers, after his long hiatus, contract negotiations have been worked out. Randy Paul has ended his holdout with Playmakers.
And, you know, I'm now the third-string quarterback behind Malik Willis.
I'm happy for you, by the way. I didn't even get to congratulate you about that. That's fantastic. I don't think you're going to be seeing the field.
No. That's why I want to be the third string.
How... Like, if you are an NFL executive, how quickly are you calling Green Bay and asking, hey, look, whatever you guys got in the water over there for quarterbacks, can we get a little bit of that? Look, we'll pay you. We'll pay you for it.
You know, isn't that something when he made that pass, you know, I thought, oh, no, we're going to settle for overtime. And they've kind of got the momentum. Jacobs ran on first down for like 3 yards. And I was like, oh, boy, this, you don't know how this is going to play out. And then he throws that pass, right? And they go down the sideline. They get in field goal range. And then they work their way down and get the chip shot. Easy for us, of course. But the thing I was saying to people was he just put it right in the guy's hands, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it was Jaden Reed that caught the pass. And you're just like, there's a lot of times when there's a guy wide open, people will overthrow them. They'll hit their helmets or they'll underthrow. Mm-hmm. I mean, he threw one pass, didn't he? Oh, no, the other one he threw.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was Dobbs, maybe, went off the hands. I said, that's a huge one because that would have been another 2 minutes off the clock. Funny part was I said to my wife, now watch. They'll go down score twice in like four minutes.
Mm-hmm.
They did it in less than 4 minutes.
Less than 4 minutes. Yeah. Less than 4 minutes.
But boy, yeah, what a luxury to have that kid, huh?
He seems like he's playing with house money in some way, even though I know he's not approaching the game that way. It just seems like he is playing like, hey, I got nothing to lose. He's certainly playing with instinct, focus, a lot of care and love for the game. But he's doing it, and because he walked in yesterday, it just seems like, wow, he's really just playing with house money out there. He's just having fun. You can tell especially when you're seeing the way that the other players are responding to him take the field. Not at all saying that they don't do this with Jordan Love. I think it's just more common with a starting quarterback and with this situation. But very rarely, watch any time a second string quarterback comes into the game, the body language of the other players, the offensive line and a defense especially. With this kid, he comes in and everybody's sitting upright. Everybody's all right. Let's go to work. You know, they believe in this kid. They're ready to play with him and everything. You can't put a price on something like that. That's pretty cool to see. Other than in Texas, I really don't think there's anywhere else in football that has that right now.
You know, I think you make a great point. I didn't think about is the defensive side of it because you know Jordan Love can run, but he was a little bit hampered with that knee, and of course now with the groin, but. This kid's even a little bit quicker, right?
Yeah.
And he's just got those shifty moves. And you could imagine, just think of the defense going, oh, before, if we kind of contained Jordan in the pocket, we're probably okay.
Mm-hmm.
This kid, we can't do that because he had that nice long run before Jacobs went in for the touchdown, too. So he brings that other element that a little bit more than Jordan, I would say.
And, you know, one of the other things that I read from that body language is these guys know way better than us. They may even know better than coaches sometimes. I hear this all the time about the first people to know if a quarterback is good or not is the offensive line. They know, they work with them in practice, and they're with these guys in practice over and over again. Oftentimes, you'll have a first or second string quarterback taking reps, but it's usually the same offensive line that's out there seeing both quarterbacks. And the defense knows before anybody else if these kids are any good. And the defense has seen Malik Willis quite a bit. He's also been, at times, been kind of like a roving quarterback or, kind of played the part of others like a practice quarterback would do or something like that. This is a fun team to see. And going up against Detroit is a tester. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not going to have 100% Jordan Love if he starts. Right. If you don't have him, you got your backup going in there. So you've already got that to lean into if you're going into this game, but you already also have the data and you know what works for Malik Willis. So not only can you work this playbook that he knows pretty well around him, but you don't have to adapt too much. Your receivers don't have to adapt too much. Your offensive line doesn't have to adapt too much. There's a reason they went after this kid in particular. His skill set and Jordan's are very similar, and you can, you know, it took a while for head coaches to realize this, but hey, maybe my backup should be very similar to my starting quarterback, so I don't have to change my playbook that much.
Yeah, well, the first thing you noticed when he came in and played for Jordan Love that first game after Jordan got hurt in opener was the fact that they had a great game plan. You know, they're doing RPOs, you know, and they're doing a lot of sweeps that were taking place, and it's just like I almost think just Detroit looked fabulous last week, the little I saw them. And you're like, boy, this could be a tough one to win even with a healthy Jordan Love.
Yeah.
So you're thinking, maybe let Jordan sit, you know, recover a little bit because maybe we wouldn't win with him anyway. You know, it's early in the year. You'd rather have him healthy for the rest of the season than you do on, you know, middle of the season. Another interesting thing I heard you guys talking about a little bit when Kev called in, you're talking a little bit about do you take a quarterback out when there's a blowout. You know, I got a theory on that. I wonder if there are bonuses that are due
Oh, yes.
If a backup quarterback comes in, and so they're very leery of paying those back bonuses. And so, therefore, if it's a blowout, they still keep – because how often – even think about Rodgers. Think about way back to Favre. They didn't bring in the backup very often, maybe to take one kneel down. But you just wonder if there's in a certain amount of minutes, a certain amount of plays, that if they get involved, now they have to give them more money. So that might play into it, too, that we just don't know about.
There's not one sports contract that doesn't have those things worked into it. I remember last year, and I've remembered this many times happening, where like a Puka Nacua, who nobody saw coming last year. He was going to be hopefully a decent player, make an NFL roster. Nobody saw him breaking NFL wide receiver rookie records. He had things in his contract where his contract ballooned and just went huge because he had all these deals in there. They didn't know that he'd turn into that. They just put that stuff in there to incentivize both parties,
sure,
the player and the coach. You know, we all understand how contracts work. Yes, I mean, a mansplain that. So I guarantee that that's part of the reason why these players are staying in there. If oftentimes, hey, I got to get 20 touchdowns this season if I want that bonus, as much as what you're saying there with the backup of, hey, let me in, coach. I'd like to kind of get some reps, where the GM might be telling the coach, don't not play that kid. We've seen that a lot. Jeff George, I think, famously had that happen to him in the NFL with the Colts or something like that. We've seen it recently, I think, with Matt Ryan. A couple of players where, hey, why isn't he playing? And then now it's just kind of out in the open. Well, it's a contract thing. Back in the day, he's got a nagging injury, you know, and it wasn't really that.
But with that said, as we and I both speculate is true, is it worth risking your starting franchise quarterback for a few whatever incentives that you might be paying out? I don't know.
Yeah.
Unless it's kneel downs, I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know, and it's so, you know, there's the whole, you could walk outside and have a tree branch fall on you. You never know with any of these things.
Right.
We do know that it's more likely they get hurt if they're playing the game than not.
Right.
We know that for sure.
Yeah.
So get them out of the game, I think, when they could step on a rock and twist their ankle.
How many guys haven't gotten hurt? Really, when Jordan got hurt this week, he was just landing and all of a sudden he starts hopping.
Yeah.
Rodgers last year tore his Achilles, and so did the Viking quarterback who's now with Atlanta. He got hurt in the Packer game, no contact.
Yeah.
So that can happen as well, yeah.
I want to talk high school sports with you, Randy, in a moment, but before we do, we have the World Series tonight, Game 3. I've been doing a stat of the show lately, and I wanted to throw that out there, and it has involved with, it does have to do with Game 3, but a different Game 3. The longest World Series game in history, the longest World Series game. Wasn't that long ago, actually. It takes us back to 2018 when the Dodgers beat the Boston Red Sox 3-2 in the 18th inning.
Hmm.
The game was 7 hours and 20 minutes. It was Game 3 at Dodger Stadium. Max Muncy won it with a walk-off home run. I remember the game a little bit, but I don't seem to remember it being the longest game. I'm sure it came up a billion times, but I didn't remember that part of it.
Well, here's the best part. As we were driving up to do the game between Nacusa and Abbotsford, of course, we're listening, and then we called in, and just listening to the wealth of knowledge that Seth has. I mean, he's telling you about, oh, yeah, that was in 2001, and this happened in the seventh inning with two strikes.
He just rolls it off.
I know.
I stutter, and I've got it in front of me, and he's just pulling it out of his brain.
It's crazy.
A couple of other interesting things. The first rookie to start a World Series game with at least 6 innings and 1 or no hits allowed, Yamamoto has done that. He's also got the most starts by a rookie in World Series history, in the playoff history, I should say, with 11 starts. So those are both interesting stats why that young man has been playing well. But how about this? The first player to appear in the World Series for 3 consecutive seasons with 3 different teams.
Wow.
Will Smith became the first player in any professional sport, not just in Major League Baseball, but the NFL, NBA, and NHL history.
So are Will Smith, like the former Brewer?
The left-handed reliever? I believe so,
I think it is.
Yes, that's Will Smith. Because the Dodgers have the catcher, Will Smith, as well.
But this is
a different Will Smith. This is the different one. So yeah, I thought that was pretty wild, too. A little surprised I haven't heard that one anymore. But yes, reliever Will Smith.
Okay.
Man, that's a nice gig to get it, to be able to show up in a couple of different World Series.
So if you're a team out there, you probably want to pick him up because you'll be
absolutely. It should be your number one move. Booth as your general manager. Sign Will Smith.
We'll trade you.
Corbin Burns is a nice piece. Blake Snell, nice pieces. But did you sign Will Smith?
How about that, Will?
Come on. To focus on what's important here. That's a great point.
That's funny.
We wrapped up the high school football season in the area over the weekend. A couple of tough games for our local teams, but a great season. Everybody keeping their heads up high. Randy, you were at the Nacoosa Abbotsford game. I got to hear the first half a bit of that game. Nice job by you and Michael. You guys work so well together. Great work by you guys, as always, and another great season for both of you. I tip my hat to both of you guys. The game seemed a bit closer when I was listening. How was it for you and from your perspective?
Yeah, they were going back and forth. Both teams were scoring, and they were taking long drives. And then all of a sudden, unfortunately, Nacoosa recovers like a fumble at the one-yard line, and they get out to like the 11. And then, oh, great play by Nash Kretschmer, the quarterback for Nacoosa. He gets hit, and he eludes that hit, and he runs away. And then he's going to throw it, and they hit his arm, and the ball comes popping free. And they recovered, and they had the short field, and they scored in like two plays. And then all of a sudden, it just kind of ballooned, and the next thing you knew, it was a 21-point advantage. But, you know, as Michael said, you know, you got two options now. You can either just, you know, roll up the carpeting and call it a year, or you can just, you know, say, we're going to fight this thing to the finish. And to Nacoosa's coaching staff and kids, they get all the credit in the world because that's exactly what they did. And they're down 21, right, in the second half, and they throw this nice touchdown pass, and a distance away from the play, they get called for holding.
Mm, yeah. I heard that play happen.
And I mean, the receiver, I think I said he's 20 yards open. It was easily 20 yards he was open by. So he goes in for the score, which would have cut it to 14, but they call it back. And then just a skosh later, Nacoosa goes down and scores. Mm. That would have cut it down to 7 points had that touchdown stood, you know. And now you got a crazy last 9 minutes of the ball game. But instead, that didn't count, so they got the touchdown. Now they're down by 14, and then just time kind of whittled away on them. But, boy, I'll tell you what, they sure fought hard, and they had some injuries. We did the game a couple of weeks before that, and they had some injuries in the backfield. And one of their backs still did not return due to injuries, just trying to get healed up. And another one came back, Nash's brother Finn came back, and, you know, he was battling through. And they had a whole litany of players that are battling through things, as players usually do, you know, when you get to week 10 of the season. Yeah. But credit to them for battling it out. And I'll tell you what, Abbotsford's got themselves their hands full this Friday as they go up to
Coleman. That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Coleman's number two in the state. They average over 300 yards rushing per game. They've had four games in the 40s, and they've had two games in the 50s. So they can put up points.
I know Cedar Grove looks good and everything, but I mean, Coleman, they look like they can win the whole thing.
Yeah. And you know, just talking to one of the assistant coaches, Mark Tuttle, he was saying the fact that, you know, they're not big kids, you know, but they're just tough as nails. And they've got that great wrestling program in Coleman. Mm. And so, you know, you put those tough little wrestlers out on the field, little, right? You
right,
put those
right.
tough wrestlers out on the field, and they're going to be a handful for Abbotsford.
And we'll follow along on the rest of the high school football playoff season and stuff, keep you up to date on how that goes. But congratulations to a great season to all of our local teams and to all the teams going forward. Good luck to every one of you. Enjoy every game, every minute of football you get. I want to talk high school basketball with you in a moment, Randy. But before we leave football, we had some big news happen for Assumption football that Michael and I have had a chance to talk about, but you and I haven't had a chance to really talk about. And that is in, I believe, 2026. Assumption going to eight-man football. What is the feeling on campus, if you will, about that, and how are the Assumption players, coaches, the school feeling about this move?
That's a good question. You know, I just found out about this in the last week or two and really haven't had a chance to talk to anybody about it. I would imagine that, you know, with just the difficulties of numbers. They had some injuries this year. There was one of the games I think they were only able to suit up 13 players. And when you're playing 11 people one way and then you're probably playing 11, mm-hmm. you know, that takes you back to the 1950s with the pros. That's got to be a difficult thing, and I'm sure that's what weighed into the decision. So maybe they, you know, they want to stay in the 11-man competition, but numbers just won't allow it, mm-hmm. you know, and it just makes common sense. You know, you can't be playing 13 guys because a lot of these kids are underclassmen too, you know. So if we had a handful of seniors this year at Assumption. There were five, you know, mm-hmm. out of the 20 that started the season, I believe. So now you whittle that down to 13. You're looking at sophomores and freshmen getting playing times, and you know there's a huge difference, body wise, maturity wise, between sophomores, for the majority between sophomores and seniors. So it just makes sense from that standpoint. It's just one of those things where no matter how badly you'd like to play 11 man, numbers just won't permit it at this point.
Yeah, I remember when my little brother was playing at Assumption, and this is well over 10, 15 years ago, as much as Nick would like me to lie about that. No, I'm kidding. and I can remember this being an issue, not just for Assumption, but for other local schools as well. To be at this point, you know, I don't mean, I'm a big silver linings guy. You know this about me. So to me, I'm looking at this, and while there's a part of me that, you know, is going to miss some of the rivalries with some of these 11, you know, team, some of these games that aren't going to be able to be played, there's so much opportunity for Assumption now as well, and new rivalries, and different, a whole different history that could be written for Assumption football. And if this fits the school body better, then all the better for Assumption football competitively, as far as like, hey, maybe they're going to be that much more competitive in football now because of going to a league that fits their school body much better. It only makes sense, and I hope more and more teams are brave enough to do these kind of things. I tip my hat to Assumption for doing this. Not only is it ethically and safety-wise the smart thing for these kids, but just even competitively, you could be a lot better. You could be actually competing with teams a lot better now than maybe you have in years past, and some of those things even out a little bit more. It could be a silver lining, a blessing in disguise kind of thing.
You make a good point, too, about some new rivalries being brought out. Well, just think how much fun we have when basketball occurs between Assumption and Port Edwards. You know, the place is just packed, and it's a great rivalry. And when the game's over, everybody's out in the court talking to each other from both schools. It's just so much fun. And now that's going to happen in football, right?
Yeah.
And then you've got, of course, Newman Catholic. That's always been a great rivalry. Well, Newman Catholic is also eight-man football, so now that's going to be reignited.
Oh, yeah.
So that'll be fun as well. So you're right. That's a upside of it, and you look at that, and then of course the competitiveness. You know, you know who does compete with Edgar nowadays, right?
Right.
Much less a program that's down to 13 kids. I mean, that's just, it just isn't, you know.
It's also the job of us as adults to show kids perseverance and hey, we're not going to give up the football program. We're evolving it. We're growing in it and everything, and showing how that can be a benefit for these kids and everything too. As much as we love to win, that's a big part of this as well. I think if you are a freshman at Assumption right now or something like that, and wanting to play football and seeing the change or being in the middle of this change or something like that, I think that's an important part of it too. Before we go to our final timeout of the game, and that's okay. We can burn our timeouts. We'll make it. We got plenty of time. What coach has ever regretted burning all their timeouts, Randy? I do want to talk as we shift gears from football to basketball. We've got, of course, we're going to be covering as much high school basketball as we can, and we are I want to say one of the places you go to here or our sister station 105.5 WIRI for Assumption girls basketball. We love covering that. Let's dive in. It looks like Tuesday, November 19th, might be our possible first game that we might be covering for you. And this could all change, of course, in flux, everybody. But we're looking at Nina and Lincoln High School girls basketball. Assumption, Newman Catholic. That is coming up a couple days later on Thursday, November 21st. Both those games look very exciting.
Yeah, that's one of the things, you know, when I look at the schedule, I look at as many girls and boys schedules as possible and try to keep a little balance with them, especially in the early part of the season with November and December, as we kind of sort things out and try to get a little mix in, because you're looking at 6-7 teams that you're trying to get on the air. That's a difficult thing to do when we're trying to keep it so that Seth has a life. You know,
right.
trying to keep it to a couple, three games a week.
Yeah, that's a good note for me, too. I should write that down. Let's have a life. Okay. Thank you, Randy.
And so you look at the schedule. Well, if there's two teams playing the same night, you try to balance it out a little bit and make sure that everybody gets an opportunity as well. So that's one of the things I did when I tried to put the schedule together. But, you know, changes could happen. This is always tentative. And I just went through the end of December, and I looked at the end of December, and there's a couple of tournaments that are taking place that you can't do them both, but you know, you've got Lincoln High School down at just a game instead of going to the Century Classic, and Assumption's going to the Century Classic this year.
Yeah.
And then stuck in between there, there's, I believe, an Assumption girls game like on the 27th. So again, it depends upon availability of board operators and announcers and having a life and all those wonderful things, and just about, like we said, try to get a couple games per week at least.
And of course, we always we are able to do all of this thanks to our sponsors. So not only a big thank you to all of you sponsors out there being a part of these games and these kids' lives and our station and know, being buying local and supporting local. But to anybody that wants to join the team, we'd love to have you. We can't have enough sponsors.
Right.
And with more sponsors, we might be able to cover even more games. So go ahead and give our front desk a call anytime, 424-1300. Pam will put you in touch with our sales staff. Looking forward to a great season of high school basketball. We're going to cover as much of this as we can. Really looking forward to the Cranberry Classic. We'll be talking to our friends at Assumption about that, of course, coming up next month. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a lot of fun. I look forward to that every year. As a kid, I used to look forward to the NBA games on Christmas Day. I look forward to the Cranberry Classic just as much.
Well, right. Like, tomorrow's the 29th, right, of October. So the 29th of November is the Cranberry Classic already. So a month from tomorrow,
wow,
calendar-wise.
It's crazy. It feels like high school football just started.
I know.
Let alone the high school basketball's right
and
around the
once
corner.
Once basketball starts, it'll be March.
Randy, thank you so much for being here, man. We'll be right back with more Playmakers on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers. Got a handful of minutes left to show. We'd love to fill it with your phone calls, 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. A big thank you to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out right here in Wisconsin Rapids. Go visit them on A Street for all your printing needs. Be listening Wednesday morning during the morning show. Phil joins us with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday. Be on the lookout for that. Want to send a special shout-out to Randy Paul for joining us. That was awesome, everybody. Randy just stopped by to drop off some equipment and the schedule and is like, hey, you by yourself? Like, yeah, you want some company? Yeah, I want some company. That was awesome. I missed doing the show with you, Randy. That was fantastic. One of the best minds in sports we have here, not just at this station, I mean period, in Wisconsin. Love having him. That's my favorite voice to hear on the radio calling a game. Randy Paul calls a mean game, good game, and appreciate it very much. It was my favorite voice to hear. Him and Kevin Harlan. Michael is right up there as well. Michael will be with us on Wednesday, talk some high school sports, talk some River Kings, as he is your voice of the River Kings for the 2024 season. Michael also adding a lot to our newsletter. Be sure to sign up for the WFHR newsletter. We put a microscope on the Central Wisconsin area and cover it like nobody else. Sign up for the newsletter and see all the great work that Melissa and Laura and Chuck and Terry Barr and so many of our great people out there are working on. Sign up for it at WFHR.com. Take a look at our schedule in a moment. But with the last couple of minutes we have left, remember I got a couple questions out there for everybody. Would you keep a player in the game in a blowout? And how tired are you of hearing sports commentators mention how many times they got a take right? I'm just exhausted from it, man. I'm exhausted from it. And don't worry. I'll call myself out when I do it. did want to talk a little World Series with you guys as well. And talk about that. That's fine. And Badger football. You know, you got the Badgers with a nice... I think an opportunity for at least two wins. Wisconsin at Iowa this weekend. Late game, 6:30. Oregon coming to Camp Randall on November 16th, then at Nebraska, and then Minnesota at Wisconsin. Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota, all winnable games. Whether you're talking about the Vegas odds or you're just talking about looking at these games, these teams as you've seen them. Oregon, of course, is the number one team in the country. And while you never know what can happen, and Wisconsin is hung with teams that are playing, that are maybe a step above them recruiting wise and talent wise, they've hung at times with an Alabama or a Penn State. You never know what can happen. We can, I think we could chalk that one up to an L, and go ahead and look at these other three games as very, very winnable games. And you're going bowl, you're going bowling. So that's pretty exciting for Wisconsin Badger fans. And a lot to build on going into 2025. 424-2600. What are you excited about looking at the NFL schedule for this weekend? How do you feel about the Jordan Love injury? How is that one sitting with everybody out there? It's got to be sitting a lot better considering you've got a great backup. And how are you feeling about the World Series so far? We've got our third game of the World Series going on tonight. And it's going up against Monday Night Football. The positive, it's the Giants and Steelers. It will be 14-3. This game will end. This is not going to be a blowout. This is not going to be a very exciting market game outside of maybe the New Jersey and the Pittsburgh markets. But it does bring me to my hot take of the show. Hot take of the show, everybody. I'm going to bring this back on Wednesday because I want to know what everybody else feels of this one. Okay? I've been saving this one. So let me know what you think of this, everybody. All right? I'm sorry. I wanted to make sure to get this right, and I wrote it down. So, until they're good again, should the Giants and the Jets have to go by the New Jersey Giants and the New Jersey Jets? Once they're good again, they can go by the New York teams. But since they don't even play in New York, and neither team has been very good, should they have to go by the New Jersey team? I'm wondering. Seems fair. Seems like legit. I don't know. If you're a New Yorker, do you want that? I'm curious. What do you think? 424-2600. We'll talk about that maybe a little bit more on Wednesday. Michael Comer going to be joining us on Wednesday. Talk some high school sports. Talk some football. NFL football. College football. And we'll see where we're at in the World Series. World Series may be done by then. Or we may have just gotten the series going. See what happens tonight with all of these. As always, a big shout out to the best listeners in radio, every single one of you. Thanks a lot for joining us today, whether it's on the phone lines or listening in. Special shout out to Randy Paul. Thank you so much for being here, Randy. That was a lot of fun. Of course, our friends over at Quality Post Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Appreciate them. We'll be back on Wednesday, everybody, with more Playmakers. We'll also have Wisconsin men's basketball on that day. We'll get into more of that coming up right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic...